to hopefully inspire and encourage you. And I'm set up now so I could use my whole brain. So we are excited to be here. It is a little crazy that this is our final time speaking as New York City campus ministers. And I know many of you, some of you, this might be your first time here, or maybe you've been here for a year, or the last 3 years, or, you know, the Ruperts and Persings have been here for like the last, I don't even know, 12 years. But Chelsea and I have been on staff with the New York City Campus Ministry for the past 14 years. And so 14 years we've been serving the New York City Church's campus ministry. And I'm excited to get to share a little bit tonight. But, you know, on the way in, Chelsea and Hannah were betting over how many times I would cry in this message. And I think it's going to be zero. I'm going to hold it together. But it's, you know, definitely been an honor and a joy. And so we started doing ministry in the summer of 2010. And so some of you were like, oh, wow, I was 10 or 8 or whatever. But in the New Jersey region, in the New Jersey campus, we started doing ministry there. The campus was around 8 people. And over the next 10 years, we saw grow from 8 to over 80 disciples in the New Jersey campus ministry. We saw people go in the ministry full-time, like Matt and Brielle, like Mark and Hannah, and other great people that some of you know. In 2015, we were officially tasked with kind of overseeing the whole New York City church-wide campus. So we were doing that and kind of leading the New Jersey group at the same time. And then in 2019, Chelsea and I shifted over to focusing on the city and left the Persings and Ruperts leading the New Jersey campus ministry. Yeah. After about 2 years of that, it was put out there for us to take all the college students from the boroughs and plant this city campus region in Manhattan, and to have the Persings come from Jersey and to help us do that. And so so we did that in fall of 2021, and that's what we've been doing the last 3 years, which has been so much fun. And such an answered prayer to be watching God work and bless that. And many of you kind of know the arrangement in that last phase there of the Ruperts leading Jersey and then, you know, us being in the city. And we've loved getting to do that. And honestly, I, you know, could spend a long time reflecting on things we've seen happen or all the stuff that has happened. I mean, in that 14 years, we've seen hundreds of people baptized and become Christians. We've seen like 19 people raised up and go into the full-time ministry, both in New York City and elsewhere, people that have been sent out. And it's one of our greatest joys to be in the church and to go from region to region and to see people in the singles ministry, people who are now married or some people even having their first kids who we saw become Christians or we had in campus ministry. And it just helps us to feel validated that serving God, that helping people become Christians, is worth every bit of time and energy that it takes. Building God's kingdom and seeing people become disciples and then live out their lives and build their families faithfully. Any part of that that you get to play is so worth it. And something that you don't want to miss out on, and that you don't want to just be in campus and like, oh, remember her? She was in campus. I wonder where she's at. Oh, remember him? But no, you want to be somebody that goes on from campus into singles, into marrieds, builds your family, remaining a faithful man or woman of God for us to look back at proud of, but also for God to look at proud of, and anybody else that gets to serve alongside you and in your life. And so we've announced this to our city group, but we are heading off to our next adventure. Through a lot of prayer and fasting, we believe God has led us to take a position as region leaders in the Boston church. And so, you know, our New York City church is connected globally with a whole big fellowship of churches that I love being part of. And you guys know we do our fall retreats with Boston every year and all these different Northeast things. And so we have many relationships and connections there. And as we were figuring out kind of the next move for our family and what was best, God opened up a door for us to go lead the South Coastal region of the Boston church. And so it is a bittersweet thing. We are desperately going to miss the New York City church, city, Jersey, all of that. But we're also confident and faithful and excited that God is leading us and taking us there. And that God is leaving the New York City campus in tremendous hands. And that's you, that's everybody in this room, but that's also our campus staff and our team that we work with are an incredible, faithful, spiritual, passionate team of people. And so, moving forward, the Ruperts and Persings will kind of be working together as the church-wide campus leaders. Obviously, the Ruperts primarily focus on the Jersey half, the Persings overseeing the city half, along with the Brents, and then we have our whole, interns and the rest of our team as well. And so we have new leaders raising up. God is always, it's good when people move on because new people get to raise up. And so we believe that team and that you guys together are going to do incredible things. Amen?
Amen?
Enough about us and about information and stuff like that. So I want to get into the word a little bit here. And something I want to make sure that you really get is that campus ministry, teens, young adults, however you want to put it, have always been the church's greatest catalysts and drivers for change, for newfound passion, conviction, faith, and dreams for God and for His kingdom. And what's important for you to know is that our fellowship, this global fellowship we're part of, our fellowship was started by college students. Right? Even when you get into the Bible, the apostles that Jesus picked to start the church and bring the gospel to all nations, the apostles were all in their late teens or early 20s when the church was started. And so something I want to impart on you is that I believe this room will and must play a huge role in not the future of the church, although that's true, but play a huge role in the present of the church. That you need to see yourselves that, it's total, like, you're the future. No, you're not the future, although you will be. You are the present of the church, and you need to be the present of the church, or there may not be a future of the church. And there will be a future of the church. But what that future will be determined by you taking ownership of the present of the church. The church needs you. Right? And I've preached on many different things. And I do think there have been certain topics, which probably the Ruperts and Persings can attest to more than anybody, as they've had to bear listening to me preach for like 14 years now. But there have been certain topics that I believe have been a focus over and over again. And I thought about preaching on some of these things and some of the things that we have made sure we have focused on and preached on over and over again is how important it is to stay focused on Jesus. That our Christianity has got to be about Jesus and about following Jesus. Another thing that we've continued to preach about is having dreams and having visions for God's kingdom. And that you've got to dream and have visions for God's kingdom. Something that you can do to bring God glory. Another thing we've preached on is how important it is to develop deep convictions. That you're not shallow in your beliefs. That you don't just do things because others do. No, you build deep biblical convictions. That you live with lordship. That Jesus is Lord. And that you don't get shaken and you never give up on God. We've also tried to impart with our ministry the importance of holding to God's word. That you need to be a man or woman of the word who digs into God's word and holds to it. That we need to be people who aim for righteousness, who don't live by what we want to do, but we think what will please God. And that's got to be how we think. We've always believed deeply in the importance of investing in relationships, of commitment and of devotion, and God calling us to have that kind of unity and devotion and commitment to each other. And lastly, I believe we've emphasized the importance of holding to the truth. That in a world of so many religions and even in a world of so many versions of Christianity, it's important that we hold to biblical Christianity and we watch our life and our doctrine. And so I could have preached powerfully, I think, on any of those things tonight. And those would have been important. And I encourage you to hold to all of these areas. But tonight we want to look at a passage in 1 Timothy. And we want to focus more on calling you to fulfill the role needed of you in the church right now. And the role that we think is needed of you to fulfill in the church is for you to have the mindset that you are here to set an example. That you are here, you are needed for the church to set an example, to be an inspiration. To be an inspiration for the church, both for those younger than you in the church and for those older than you in the church. That you would be an example and an inspiration for the church to be a place that honors God and does something great for Him. Now, I forgot I had a picture up here. I know some of you, especially Brianna, like to see old pictures of me. So I was like, you know, let me dig up an old picture of Chelsea. Now, you can go to the next slide. From one of our early All New York campus events. We were doing an All New York summer barbecue. Summer of 2011. Chelsea and I weren't even dating yet, but we were in charge of cooking the burgers together. So even back then, guys, cooking burgers. They were frozen patties. I didn't know what I was doing yet. But guys, I knew what I was doing as far as how to dress. I mean, come on, right? So, you know, you guys could take that and you can, you know, Photoshop me and do all that kind of stuff that you guys do with it. Chelsea had a little more going on than me. But, you know, tonight we want to talk about setting an example. That your role in the church is, hey, I'm here to be an inspiration and to set an example. Amen? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, chapter 4, verse 6, that'll be up here. Paul calls Timothy, who is a young man in the church, to this calling of, hey, your role needs to be to set an example for the believers. So let's read this here in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. It says, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. And, you know, honestly, I want to be left off as a good minister. And so I was like, what should I preach on tonight? And this says, if you point these things out, you will be a good minister. So this seemed like a good thing to preach on. It says, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct or life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Amen? There's a lot of good stuff in here, and I would encourage you to study this out in greater detail and depth. But what I see here is that Paul was calling Timothy, who is a young man in the church, to do what? What was his role to be? That his role was to set an example. His role was to set an example. And what did that entail? Well, it entailed going into spiritual training. That you're somebody who's like, hey, I'm not just here to be casual. I'm not here to sit on the couch. No, I'm here to go into spiritual training. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to work hard, to give myself wholly to the work of the ministry and give myself wholly to personal spiritual growth so that everyone can see that I am growing and see my progress. Right, God is calling Timothy, Paul is calling Timothy here to watch himself, right? To not be naive, to not be aloof, to not be aimless, but no, watch yourself. Watch yourself and make sure that you're having an impact with the Word of God and with the gifts that God has given you on others. And all of this is said with a comment of remembering and knowing that it is only through Jesus and it is only through the truth that all can be saved. And so what we're doing is of eternal importance. And this is what Chelsea and I want to call you all to tonight. To be examples. To be examples in the church of spirituality. To be an example of godliness. To be an example of fervor, of work for God. To be an example of impact in the New York City, New Jersey area for God. To be people who will decide that you will not have your pace or your tone of Christianity. What being a Christian means is not going to be shaped by what the world says a Christian is. And also that your Christianity is not going to be staged or set by what other disciples say a Christian is. But that you're going to say, no, well, what is Jesus like? Who is Jesus? What does the Word say? And then you're going to be an example for the rest of the believers of that. Of this is who Jesus is, and this is what the Bible says. That you're going to be somebody who sets an example in that way. I love it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Right? And so that's not saying, hey, you know, just make sure people don't look down on you. Right? It's give them a reason to look up to you. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for them. Right? That they not only, you know, not look down on you, but they're inspired by you. That other Christians older than you, younger than you, your peers, they're like, wow, there's something different about this man. There's something different about this woman. They're like Jesus. They're doing something for God. Look at them growing. Right? Don't let them look down on you because you're giving them a reason to look up to you. Not to your glory, but to God's glory. You know, like I said earlier, it's so important for you to grab hold of this idea that, hey, we're not the future of the church, we are the present of the church. Yeah. Right? And honestly, every disciple is the present of the church, but younger can tend to be viewed as the future, but you need to know that you are not the sideshow of the church. Or you can't be the like up and coming or the ones on deck or next up on at bat. You are the now. The church needs you now. The world needs you now. Jesus is calling you now. Right? And all of this call to be an example and to not be, you know, for people to look up to you and stuff like that. It's not an influence that's based on authority. Right? It's not like, hey, you guys are now in charge in the church, so everybody looks up to you. Right? It's not an influence based on authority. It's not an influence based on role. Right? It's not like, oh, I'm the minister, I'm the elder, I'm the inter, right? It's not an influence based on role. It's not an influence based on platform, like, oh, well, I don't get to go up and preach, or I don't run the group meet. I don't, whatever, right? Like, it's not an influence based on authority. It's not an influence based on role or based on platform. It's influence based on example. And so if you want to have influence in the church, lead by example. Influence by example. Influence by who you are around people and when you're not around people. Day in and day out. And what's encouraging about that is that that kind of influence, you can decide. Right, you can't decide what platform you get, what role you have, how much authority you get, but you can decide what kind of person you're going to be. You can decide how strong of a Christian or how faithful of a Christian you're going to be. Right? It's more of an influence about who you are, how you live, and what you are doing for God and with God day by day. And the truth is that God sees that every time. And God lifts that up. And as you keep living that way, others see your progress. And they see that as well. And it lifts others up and it lifts the church up. And so being an example, it starts with who you are. Are you an example to follow? And I like how the scripture gave us a few different areas. It said, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, or other translations say life. So set an example in speech. Set an example in life, how you're living. Set an example in love, in faith, in purity. Right? That you're setting an example in these different areas. What does it look like to set an example in speech? Right? When you think about how you use your mouth, how you use your words, right? Do you set an example in encouraging other people? Do people walk away like encouraged, built up, edified after they've interacted with you? Right? Using your speech to build others up, or do you use your speech to complain, to have an attitude, to tear down, maybe to be crude or to make worldly jokes, right? Or to say things you know Jesus wouldn't say or you wouldn't say around him, right? But no, setting an example in speech that you talk spiritually and beneficially and lifting others up. Setting an example in your life or in your conduct, right? That of all of your peers and all the people in the world, when others are around you, they sense, you know, you're mature for your age, or you're different than other people your age, right? That there's a maturity about you, that you live in a way that you say, you know what, I'm going to honor God with my life. I'm going to do my best with the responsibilities I have. I'm going to be trustworthy. I'm going to be reliable. I'm going to be a good example, right? I'm going to make the gospel attractive. And maybe that applies to your grades and the kind of student that you are. Set an example in your life. Maybe that applies to the job that you have and the kind of employee that you are. Set an example there. Maybe that applies to your finances and how you handle your money and your income or your giving. Set an example there. Maybe that applies to your health, right? Set an example in life. How do you do taking care of yourself? Taking care of your health and how you eat or exercise or things like that. Set an example for the believers in life. A third area Gabe was love, right? That you set an example in being a loving person. The world could use more love. I don't want to get corny or anything ridiculous, but right? I mean, there could be more Jesus-like love in our world desperately. Yeah. And so that you're somebody in the church and somebody in the world where you care about people. You serve others. You make time for people. You sacrifice. You give of yourself. You set an example in what it looks like to love people. Right? I also love setting an example in faith, right? And sometimes that's what the church needs. We're in a place where maybe it's like, oh, we haven't seen anything happen recently, or we're going through a hard time, or there's that, and then we just need somebody who says, no, God can do this. God is working. God is going to do something awesome. A miracle is around the corner. That you're somebody who sets an example in faith, that you believe God is working. You are sharing your faith with others. You're somebody who says, no, God is about to do a miracle. God is about to work here. Or maybe it's just a tough time you're going through and you're setting an example in your faith and that you're holding on and you're not giving up and you're not letting go. You're setting an example in your faith. And another thing that's so important for young people to set an example in is in their purity. And sometimes you're setting that example when you're alone. That you're setting an example for, I'm going to be a pure, righteous person while I'm alone right here. Or maybe setting an example in purity and how you go after dating or talking to somebody that you're attracted to or interested in. Setting an example in purity and how you talk to somebody. Right? And so there's sexual purity, but there's also then purity of focus and of heart. That we don't let worldliness come into our heart, where maybe we're, you know, trying to be overly concerned about success or money or wealth and not having a purity of heart and of focus. And so with all these different areas, I do think the call in this passage was train yourself to be godly. Yeah. You've got to look at these areas and you're not just going to automatically be an example in these. No, you've got to train yourself. Yeah. You've got to go after growth, after learning, after wrestling with God and getting help and overcoming and pushing yourself in these areas so you could go from wherever you're at to setting an example. And so I want you to think about in your life now, are you an example in your life, in your faith, in your love, in your purity, in your speech? Would you say the way you're going after Christianity is casual, or are you training yourself to be godly? And I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, write down one area that you want to see that's a weakness that you want to go after spiritual training in to make it a strength, that you're going to become somebody who sets an example in that area. What's an area that's a weakness that you want to become somebody who sets an example in? Chelsea's going to share more here.
So we've been mom and dad to this ministry for a long time. But as the Brents and Christine and Rupert are raising up, I feel like they're more accurately mom and dad, and I really don't want to be campus grandma. So I'm just going to really lean in right now and have a mom moment with you all, okay? I just wanted to share, as a campus mom, some wisdom with all of you in these areas that Paul tells us to set an example in. With speech, I was thinking about how much of a voice your generation has. You guys invented the influencer. And then these past few years, we saw an influx of people becoming Christians on social media, which is so cool. We just had Alyssa and Sierra become Christians. We found us on Instagram this past week they became Christians. Chelsea became a Christian earlier this year because Yannick posted a baptism picture. Like, so cool the way God is using you guys and your social media savvy to help reach the world. And it makes me think about the Samaritan woman. You know, she went from being someone who people wouldn't really even be seen with, that we can kind of infer from her story, to someone who people listened to. Like, Jesus literally gave her a voice. And it wasn't just her that was drawing people in. I believe it was the influence Jesus had on her that influenced other people. How you use your voice matters. You guys are able to have influence over the next generation of the church. Like, that's pretty cool. How are you going to use your voice to inspire people to Jesus? This next area, life. Be all in. Show up at the Bevos. Give your heart to the relationships. I've done it both ways. I've done it half-heartedly, where I'm like kind of like showing up when I feel like it, like as close to people as I feel like it, as spiritual as I feel like. And I've done it all in. And you know, Jesus promises to give us life to the full. And I really believe that that's up to us, like how much we want to tap into that or not. Like, Jesus is offering this life to the full, but we can kind of like take half of the Jesus life, a quarter of the Jesus life. Like, it's up to us whether we go all in and then we get that life to the full with Jesus. Be all in. Like, the true Christian life is, you gotta lean into it. You gotta just show up at the things. You gotta invest in the friendships, even when it's awkward and cringe in the beginning. You gotta serve, even when you don't feel like it. You gotta show up at that Bible study, even when you're tired. Like, the more things like that you do, like, just trust me, God really blesses it. And you really feel more of that life to the full that Jesus was talking about than you would ever expect. Love. You know, one thing I always share with my kids, like, before we leave town or something, I'll say to them, like, okay, Bradley and Tyler, you guys are brothers, and it's your job to take care of each other. Not anybody else's job, it's your job. You need to protect your brother, you need to look out for your brother, and you need to love him. Well, mom and dad are gone, okay? And obviously, we're leaving them with safe people, but I'm trying to teach them at an early age that, like, they need to look after each other. And, like, the real thing I care about with them, like, after loving God, I really care that they love each other. Like, I probably feel that like second to them loving God, is I really want them to love each other and be good siblings. And I honestly feel that way about you guys. I really care about how you guys treat each other, how you love each other. And I think Jesus did too. You know, he said in John 13, he said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So take care of each other. Love each other, protect each other. Keep each other faithful. When you see your brother or sister not at an event, or you feel like you get a weird feeling something's off, or you see something shady on social media, like, encourage them, reach out to them, be a good friend. Like, what? How can we call ourselves Christians if we're not good friends, right? Like, that kind of seems like basic Jesus, being a good friend to people.
Amen.
And it's very important that to Jesus that we're good friends to each other, that we take care of each other. So love one another. Faith. You know, faith comes from hearing the word, right? Read your Bible. So I'm getting real mommy now, sorry. Read your Bible. Know the Bible. Make sure the church sticks to the Bible, right? Like, as people with future influence and people who is going to start up and be the next leaders of the church and the next generation of the church, like, make sure the church sticks to the Bible. Like, if you guys don't know your Bible, you could start derailing the church. Or you can make sure the church sticks to the word of God and sticks to the truth. Like, you guys have that influence. Yeah. So make sure you are people of faith. Make sure you're people deep in your Bible and love your Bibles, period. You know, about like 10 years or so ago when we were working with campus, at that time we had a completely different staff. Like, it was a completely different ministry, obviously. But we noticed a lot of people, a lot of the students in New York City there was a lot of kids getting baptized, but then they would quickly leave and they wouldn't make it. And so we were thinking about that, like, why is that happening? Why aren't people, specifically in New York City, why aren't people staying and making it? And so we did like a survey kind of within the campus ministers where we anonymously kind of had the ministers write down like, well, why did that person leave? To what, you know, as far as you know from what they shared and what you saw, why did they leave? The number one reason young people left God was for romantic relationships. The number one reason. And number two was from persecution or like believing false doctrine. But romantic relationships, like I think this is still how Satan primarily works within young people. Just trying to lead them away through talking to that person or flirting with that person or just getting sick of waiting to get asked on a date, you know, all those things. Like that's in reality, like those little things, people end up leaving God because of that. One of my favorite scriptures has always been in Hosea 2, verses 19 through 20. God says, I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. So Jesus is offering a relationship of righteousness. Like he will always do right by you. Justice, he will always be fair to you. Compassion, he always cares how you're feeling. Faithfulness, he can never hurt you. Jesus can never hurt you. And true intimacy, like, and it's so sad how many young men and women I've seen over the years, like, turn away from that. For something kind of like lame, honestly, or like someone not even that cute, or like someone who is like, no, like just if you had waited, God would have kept it for you. So like, just do not be one of those people, okay? Promise me all, we all need to be together again in heaven, okay?
Amen. And so when you think about setting an example, it's got to start with looking at yourself and just asking, am I an example? Right? Inwardly and in your life, am I an example? But then if you're going to be an example, that influence has to start to look outwards, right? And so you're like, hey, first, am I it? But then you don't become a great example and then just hide in your room, right? Then there's got to be a turning outward. And you don't become an example to look outward and judge other people. Wow, they're a bad example, right? No, you look out to influence, to inspire, and to be a great example for others to look up to and to call them to follow you as you follow Jesus. And so Timothy had to become the example, and then he had to be the example and inspire and call others to it. And so, you know, the goal is not to follow the example, but to set the example, right? And so whatever is going on in your peers or in the ministry, the goal is not, well, let me just follow what other people are doing. No, the goal is to set an example of what we should all be doing in following Jesus. You know, we've been in the ministry for a long time. We've been around the church for a long time. And the church has a lot of different kinds of people who, and that's true in a lot of different ways, but people who are in different places. And when I think about it, I've seen, you know, in the church, sometimes there's people who are watchers, right? There's people in the ministry here, there's members, there's disciples, and they're watchers in the ministry. Watching what happens, watching others do good things, watching others do bad things, right? And when I think about a watcher, I think of somebody who has a complacent heart. Like, hey, I'm here, but, you know, I guess that's going on. That's good. I guess that's going on. That's okay, too. And sometimes what happens with watchers is they could start to think that they're experts on things that they're not actually doing themselves. Right? Maybe they have a lot of opinions about the way things go in the church or the way things should be, but they're not doing it themselves. And what I've seen as well is people start to get a sense of enlightenment of like, well, I know better of how the church should be. The church should really be more like this. The church should really, and there's certainly ways the church needs to improve and do better. But from a place of an example, not a place of enlightenment, right? We need people who are not experts, but who are examples. People who aren't just opinionated, but who are opening the word. People who aren't just enlightened, but who are lights for others and are trying to help show others. No, this is how it should be, not just tell others. This is how it should be. And so we don't need watchers in the campus ministry. Another thing I've seen in the church is waiters, right? And not people who are serving, that would be great, but waiters, people who are waiting for change, waiting for someone else to do something about it, waiting for someone else to help or someone else to ask or hoping things are going to be better. And the heart that I see in a waiter is an uninspired heart, right? Maybe they see things that should be better. They care about the right things, but they're waiting for somebody else to do something about it. They lack the inspiration and the passion and the drive to step up and do something about it themselves. And so waiters don't help the church. Another thing I've seen that doesn't help the church is whiners. Oh. Right? You got watchers, you got waiters, and you've got whiners. Yeah. People who are just looking at everything else and coming to the minister saying, "Do you know he did this?" Right? Or going to their friends and saying, "Did you see that she did that?" Right? Or, "Why won't we this? The church isn't that." Or, "If only we had this. If only we did this more." And there's just a lot of complaining and a lot of whining about what the church is like or isn't like, or somebody did or didn't do, or what they said or how they said it. And what I see in the heart of a whiner is a deflective heart. Everything is everybody else's fault, but I'm not the problem. There's a judgment of the church while forgetting, aren't you part of it too? And when you say the church, you mean you also, right? Because you were baptized in the same thing that I was. There's a deflective heart of things are other people's fault and not mine. And so we don't need watchers, waiters, or whiners. What the church needs is workers. Jesus said, send workers out into the harvest field. That we are co-laborers with God and you are his field, his building. Ephesians 3. Or 1 Corinthians 3. Right in the Timothy verse, he said, this is why we labor and strive. Right? When you think about your involvement in the church, could it be said of you, you labor and strive? When you think about your engagement, your involvement, your effort, you're using your gifts, you're giving your heart, you're reaching out to people, you're trying to go and make disciples, you're encouraging one another, could it be said of you that you labor and strive? Are you a worker for God and for his kingdom? Devoting yourself, right? I love how it said, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture and of teaching and to preaching, and do not neglect your gift. Give yourself wholly to them. All of this terminology is calling us to be workers. That the church doesn't need people watching, people waiting, people whining. It needs people working. And the work is so worth it. Right, I'm sure you guys have experienced this before, maybe in the dead of winter or in the peak of summer like this, but did you ever wake up in the night just totally freezing, right? Like maybe you went to bed and you're like, oh, this feels comfortable, but then you wake up in the night and you're like freezing. Or maybe it's the other way around, right? Like you went to bed comfortable and you wake up and you're just sweating. You know, that's probably the worst. There's like nothing you could do about it. But there have been nights where I've woken up and I'm like freezing, and maybe the blanket fell off the bed, or she pulled it all the way over to her side, or, you know, no, right? Maybe I wake up and I'm freezing, but I'm like too tired to do anything about it, right? Or maybe you have to go to the bathroom, right? And you're like, oh, but you're like, you're too tired to even, so you just lay there miserable when it would take like 3 seconds to fix your problem. And so has this happened to you guys before? Right? And so it wouldn't be that hard, but you're too tired. And then finally it gets to a point where you're like, what am I doing? I'm just laying here miserable. And then you just get up, get your blanket and you're comfortable and you go back to sleep. And it's like, why didn't I do that right away? You know, and you think about, you know, if you live in a place where you do have, you know, heat and the ability to affect the temperature, temperature control units have two numbers on them. And if you go look at your temperature control unit, it's got two numbers. One of the numbers is telling you this is what temperature it is. The other number is telling you this is what temperature it is set to. And those should be the same thing unless your system's broken, right? And so if it's too cold, you turn the thermostat and then the other number should rise with it and go up to that, right? The thermostat controls the temperature not the other way around. The thermometer tells the temperature. Thermostats change the temperature. Thermostats influence the temperature. When you think about your role in the church, are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Do you tell people this is what it's like, this is what it's like, or do you set, no, this is what it's going to be like? This is how the church should be. God needs people who are not going to lay in bed complaining, but who are going to get up and do something about it. Who are going to get up and set the temperature, not to what you are comfortable with, not to what you want the church to be, but who are going to get up and say, what does the Bible say the church to be? Let's get it back to that. What does Jesus say the church should be? Let's get it back to that. And you're not watching, waiting for somebody else to get up and change the temperature. You get up, you set the example, you change the temperature, and then everybody else rises to that with you. We need men and women who don't accept the status quo. This is the way it is. This is the way things go. But people who step in and make a difference, who create positive change. Right? In our ministry, does the current attitude or faith or convictions set you, or are you trying to set it to what it should be? Right? If there's not people becoming Christians, if there's not a need being met, if somebody's not being reached out to or loved up on that's going through something, do you notice and then do you go do something about it? Is that the kind of spirit? Are you a worker? What impact do you want to have? What gift can you use? These are things I really want to encourage you to be thinking about, dreaming about, and deciding about, that you're not going to be a watcher or a waiter or a whiner, but you are going to be a worker.
Role where we're on a committee of campus ministers from people throughout the U.S. to plan ICMC and just kind of like do campus minister training and stuff like that. And we were invited to these meetings back in March of other older, I guess, I don't know how to say it another way, older leaders in the church who lead other of these like committees throughout the church, right? And we were asked to share a little update about the campus ministry, like how do you feel like campus ministries are doing? And so I was like, oh, this is my one chance to like tell all the older people about the college students. Like, I'm so excited. And so I just wanted to read what I shared about you guys, or part of it, because you know how sometimes when like you don't think you're that awesome, but then someone else just needs to tell you you're awesome and that you can do it. So just that's what this is. This is what I shared about you guys. It said, I am inspired by the students I work with. And despite the bad rep they get, I genuinely love Gen Z. I am constantly learning from them. I love how they like to ask why. I love their zeal for justice. I admire their creativity. I admire their intuition. This current generation, arguably more than others we've worked with over the last 12 years, has a true hunger and thirst for righteousness, an eagerness for fairness, and a watchfulness for integrity. They remind me so much of Jesus. Right now, we're leading a campus region in New York City, and almost every young woman I talk to who is visiting says, I had a church, but there was no one my age there. I need a community. What that tells me is that this current generation is going to be the key in reaching their peers. It's not going to be me, it's going to be them. I try to communicate with the people I'm training that I'm here to provide experience, support, wisdom from mistakes I've made, but they are the ones building the ministry. We need to have a great partnership with the next generation. And we don't just need them as workers, but we need their ideas, their opinions, their zeal, their creativity. A great example of an older and younger partnership in the Bible is Ruth and Naomi. Ruth had this incredible heart to learn from Naomi, to follow her, to seek wisdom from her, but there was mutual submission in their relationship. It was Ruth's determination that led her to go out into the field. She was the one who said, let me go out into the field, while Naomi was literally calling herself bitter. We need young leaders like this, young leaders who won't back down in their determination and initiative when maybe we're stuck with our bitterness. I love the women I work with, and I really believe they're also there to help me. Where's this next part I was just gonna leave you guys with? Okay, we have some young leaders we're working with who we asked if they could spend more time making our social media great. And that's all we said, like, hey, like, you know how to do social media. I see you make those cute reels. Like, can you make some reels and post them online, right? A few weeks later, we had almost one-to-one disciple visitor ratio at all of our events just because of that work they did on social media. And they were barely trying. Like, this is them putting in low effort. Like, so amazing. It inspires me to think of how God is going to use their talent and their hearts to prayerfully see greater things than we've ever seen. That was basically the gist of it. But I just wanted to share that with you guys because I want you guys to know that that's how we feel about you guys. Like, we really feel like, oh my gosh, once they like really tap into Jesus and know how awesome they are and how much God wants to use them, like, the sky is the limit. Like, everything that we've seen happen in the campus ministry over the past few years is going to be like, oh, that's cute, that was cute, that was you barely trying, you know, versus like you guys really giving your whole heart to Jesus, to the mission, to each other. Like, I really believe you guys could, we could see greater things than we've ever seen before. And so I just want to leave you guys with that vision. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. You're my heroes. Love you.
Amen. I hope that encouraged you. There really is no question of whether or not God wants to use this room of people, whether or not God can use this room of people. And I believe he is going to in incredible ways. Like Chelsea said, we believe in you wholeheartedly. We love you with all of our heart. And there's a lot of different things we could have said, but the main thing we wanted to impart on you tonight is that you see your role as not the future of the church, but of the present. And that each one of you would answer this call to set an example for the believers, to not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but to set an example, to give them a reason to look up to you, to be inspired by you, to be influenced by you, that you take this whole area of your life, of your Christian walk, and you set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And we will be praying for you, we will be watching, we will be rooting for you, we will be coming back to visit, and to preach and to spend time with you. But we love you, we believe in you, and we know God does even more. And so we want to call you to set an example. Amen? Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah.